Hello, and welcome to Mr. Doom, and welcome to another episode of Scary Stories. The sea has a way of drawing you in, even when everything in your bones is telling you to turn away. I should have trusted that instinct the day we got the distress call from the SS Urang Medan. We didn't know much at first, just that the ship was in distress and that there was supposedly no one left alive on board. The message had come through garbled, almost like it had been whispered through static. But what we heard, it was chilling. All officers, including the captain, are dead, lying in chart room and on bridge. Probably whole crew dead. Those words echoed in my mind as we approached. There was something in the tone, a desperation, a fear that hung in the air even as we spotted the Urang Medan floating, eerily still, against the horizon. It was as if the ship was waiting for us, drifting in place like a ghost in the water. When we boarded, the first thing that struck me was the silence. It was the kind of silence that presses against your ears, almost like a physical weight. The ship seemed untouched, but there was an unnatural cold that settled around us, despite the hot sun overhead. The sea breeze had stopped. Everything was still. I'll never forget the smell. There was a strange metallic odor mixed with something else, something that smelled of decay, like the inside of an old abandoned crypt. It clung to the air, thick and suffocating. I had to cover my mouth to keep from gagging. One of the crew with me whispered that it smelled like death. I didn't respond, but he was right. The first bodies we found were sprawled on the bridge, their faces. I don't think I'll ever be able to erase the sight of them from my mind. Their expressions were frozen in horror, mouths wide open, eyes staring at something we couldn't see. Their hands were raised, like they'd tried to protect themselves from something. But there were no signs of injury, no blood, no wounds. Just sheer terror, etched onto their faces, like they'd been scared to death. As we moved deeper into the ship, we found more of them. Crew members were slumped over the railings, huddled in corners, lying flat on the deck, all with the same ghastly expressions. Every person looked as though they'd been petrified in a moment of unimaginable fear. One of the bodies we found was that of the radio operator, the one who had sent the distress call. His hand was still on the transmitter, his mouth open in a silent scream, his eyes bulging as if he'd seen something no human should ever see. The temperature seemed to drop the further we went. My breath began to mist in the air, and the cold crept into my bones, numbing my fingers. It felt unnatural. My flashlight flickered, casting strange shadows across the walls, and in the silence I thought I could hear faint, almost inaudible whispers. They seemed to come from nowhere, echoing through the empty corridors of the ship. At one point, I thought I heard footsteps behind me. I turned around quickly, but there was no one there. Only the dead, staring at me with their empty eyes. My heart was pounding, and I could feel sweat beading on my forehead, despite the unnatural chill. I tried to tell myself it was just nerves, just my mind playing tricks on me. But deep down, I knew better. As we moved below deck, the feeling grew worse. It was as if the walls themselves were watching us, closing in with every step. We entered the engine room, and the cold intensified. I could see my breath clouding in front of me, hanging in the air like mist. And then, there was a sound, a soft, shuffling noise coming from the shadows at the far end of the room. We shone our flashlights, but there was nothing there. Just empty space. One of the guys with me muttered something under his breath, something about ghosts. I laughed nervously, but I didn't believe my own words. This ship, it was like it was alive, filled with some malevolent force. I felt it watching me, felt it breathing down my neck. My skin prickled with goosebumps, and I could feel a presence, something dark and angry, lurking in the shadows. And then we found the last room. It was a storage area, small and cramped, with low ceilings. The smell was overwhelming, a sickening mix of rot and rust. As we stepped inside, our flashlights fell on the final group of bodies. They were huddled together, as if they'd been trying to hide, or maybe praying for salvation. Their faces were twisted in agony, their hands clutching their chests like they'd been in pain. One of the men with me stumbled back, his face pale, muttering that we had to leave. I didn't argue. I felt it too, the urge to run, to get off that cursed ship before it claimed us as well. But as we turned to go, I heard something. It was faint, almost like a whisper, but unmistakable. A voice, distant and cold, muttering words I couldn't understand, words that sounded ancient, full of malice. We hurried back to the deck, my heart pounding so loud I could barely hear my own footsteps. As we reached the top, I felt a cold breeze blow past me, as though something had slipped right by us. I stopped, looking back at the empty ship, and for a split second, I thought I saw shadows shifting in the dimness, forms moving in the darkness, watching us leave. As we pushed off and the Orang Maidan drifted further into the distance, I couldn't shake the feeling that we had disturbed something on that ship, something ancient and evil. None of us spoke as we headed back, each lost in our thoughts, haunted by what we had seen. Later, I heard that the Orang Maidan sank, mysteriously, without warning. Some say it was an explosion, but I know better. That ship was cursed, tainted by something beyond our understanding. Whatever happened to the crew, whatever horror they faced, it left a mark, a stain that lingers even now, even in my memories. Sometimes, at night, I still hear it, that faint whisper, drifting through the silence. It's a voice I can't understand, a voice filled with anger, a warning that never fades. I had heard stories about ships found drifting aimlessly at sea, but I'd never thought I'd be part of one. That was until I was called to help salvage the Mary Celeste. The ship was discovered floating in the Atlantic Ocean. From a distance, it looked untouched, peaceful even. Its sails were full, catching the wind like any ordinary ship, but there was no crew on deck, no voices, no movement, just the eerie silence that seemed to hang in the air. It was strange, unsettling even. A ship should never be so silent. As we approached, we called out, signaling our arrival, but there was no response. Just the hollow sound of our own voices echoing across the waves. Finally, we boarded. I was one of the first to set foot on the deck, and the silence was even thicker there. It felt like stepping into a graveyard that had been abandoned for centuries. The air was heavy and cold, almost as if it had a presence, like it was watching me. But what struck me immediately was how perfectly normal everything seemed at first glance. The ship was in good condition, no signs of damage, no bloodstains, nothing to indicate a struggle. The crew's personal belongings were all neatly in place. There was half-eaten food on the table in the galley, cups filled with water, a pot still warm on the stove. Everything felt untouched, as though the crew had just vanished mid-sentence, mid-bite. But the deeper I went into the Mary Celeste, the more my skin started to crawl. In the captain's cabin, I found his logbook. The last entry was ordinary, just a note about the weather, as if it were any other day. There was no hint of worry, no sign of anything wrong. Just routine observations, nothing out of the ordinary. And yet, here we were. No crew, no bodies. Just the quiet, empty ship floating aimlessly, alone in the ocean. As I closed the logbook, I felt something shift in the air, like a cold draft that crawled down my spine. I tried to shake it off, but I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't truly alone on that ship. I told myself it was just nerves. But as I moved through the empty cabins, I started noticing things that didn't make sense. Things like a playing card placed in the middle of the hallway, as if someone had been in the middle of a game, or a single, perfectly folded shirt on a bunk, lying there as though it had just been set down. I remember walking down the main corridor when I heard something, a faint sound, almost like footsteps. They were soft, slow, and deliberate, coming from the far end of the hall. I froze, listening, my heart pounding. I thought maybe one of my crewmates had come aboard, but as I waited, no one appeared. The footsteps faded, leaving only the heavy silence once more. I told myself it must have been the ship settling or the sound of the waves, but deep down I didn't believe it. It was too deliberate, too human. And then there was the cabin. Near the back of the ship, I found a cabin door that was slightly ajar. I hesitated before pushing it open, and as soon as I did, an overwhelming sense of dread washed over me. Inside, the room was in perfect order, as though someone had just stepped out for a moment. There was a notebook lying on the bed, open to a blank page. I picked it up and a chill shot through me. The paper felt cold, damp, like it had been left out in the rain. But there hadn't been any rain. As I stood there, I felt the temperature in the room drop. It was subtle at first, but then it became a bone-chilling cold that wrapped around me, sinking into my skin. My breath misted in the air, and in that instant, I felt a presence. It was as if someone was standing right behind me, watching. I didn't dare turn around. I didn't want to see whatever might be there lurking in the shadows. Then I heard it, a whisper. It was faint, barely audible, like a sigh carried on the wind. "Leave," it said. The voice was soft, almost pleading. I froze, gripping the notebook so tightly that my knuckles turned white. I wanted to run, to get off that ship and never look back. But some morbid curiosity kept me rooted in place. And then, as quickly as it had come, the feeling vanished. The room warmed, my breath stopped misting, and the silence returned, thick and heavy. I left the cabin, feeling the hairs on the back of my neck prickling with every step. I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched, followed, like someone was trailing just a few steps behind me. As I made my way back to the deck, I heard it again, the footsteps. This time, they were closer, louder. They echoed down the hall, growing quicker, more urgent. I quickened my pace, heart racing, trying not to look back. But just as I reached the deck, I felt a hand, cold and clammy, brush against the back of my neck. I turned, but there was no one there. Only the empty hallway stretching into darkness. Back on deck, the others noticed I looked pale. I didn't tell them what I'd felt, what I'd heard. I didn't want them to think I was losing my mind. But as we prepared to leave, I couldn't shake the feeling that something, or someone, was watching us, following us. As we pushed off, I looked back at the Mary Celeste, drifting silently in the water. It looked so calm, so peaceful. But I knew better. For days after that, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I heard the footsteps, felt the cold hand on my neck. And sometimes, in the dead of night, I'd hear a whisper, a faint voice pleading, "Leave." I still don't know what happened to the crew of the Mary Celeste, and I don't think I ever will. But I'll never forget the feeling of that ship, the oppressive silence, the invisible eyes watching my every move. It was as if the Mary Celeste itself was alive, haunted by the souls of those who had vanished. And maybe, just maybe, it was warning me to stay away. The sea has always held an air of mystery, but nothing could have prepared me for the night we encountered the Flying Dutchman. It was supposed to be a routine voyage, a cargo run across a stretch of ocean I'd sailed 100 times before. But the sea, as they say, has a mind of its own, and sometimes it reveals things better left unseen. It started with the storm. The sky darkened quicker than I'd ever seen. The clouds rolling in like an army marching toward battle. By the time the first drops of rain hit the deck, the waves had already begun to rise. Within minutes, we were in the thick of it, the wind howling, and the ocean pitching our ship like a toy in a bathtub. The crew scrambled to secure the lines, shouting orders over the roar of the storm, but it was clear we were at the mercy of the sea. It was during the chaos that I saw it. At first, it was just a shadow on the horizon, a shape barely visible through the sheets of rain and the haze of fog that had enveloped us. I blinked, thinking it might be a trick of the lightning flashing overhead, but the shape didn't vanish. It grew larger, clearer, until it became unmistakable, a ship. But it wasn't like any ship I'd ever seen. Its sails were tattered, shredded by time and countless storms, yet they seemed to catch the wind as if they were whole. The hull was ancient, covered in patches of barnacles, and the wood looked almost black in the dim light. What struck me most, though, was the glow. A faint, ghostly luminescence surrounded the ship, as if it were lit from within by an unnatural light. "The Dutchman," someone whispered behind me. I turned to see one of the deckhands, his face pale as he stared at the ship. "It can't be," he muttered, but the fear in his eyes said otherwise. We signaled with a lantern, desperate for some kind of response. Perhaps it was another ship caught in the storm, its crew in as much danger as we were. But as the ship drew closer, something about it felt wrong. There were figures on the deck. At least they looked like people. But they didn't move like any sailor I'd ever seen. They stood stiff, rigid, their heads turned toward us as if watching, though I couldn't make out their faces. "Turn the ship," our captain ordered, his voice breaking through the rising panic. "We're not staying near that thing." The crew obeyed, but as we adjusted course, the Dutchman seemed to follow. It didn't change direction. It didn't need to. Somehow, it always stayed close, no matter how hard we tried to steer away. It was as if the storm itself conspired to keep us near it, herding us like prey toward a predator. The fog thickened as the Dutchman loomed closer, wrapping around our ship like a shroud. The air grew cold, unnaturally so, and my breath came out in puffs of mist. That's when I began to hear it, the whispers. At first, I thought it was the wind, but as I listened, the sound became clearer. Voices, soft and mournful, echoing through the fog. I couldn't make out the words, but the tone was unmistakable. They were calling to us. The crew began to panic. Some dropped to their knees, praying to gods they hadn't spoken to in years. Others froze, staring at the Dutchman as if entranced. One man, a young sailor named Tom, broke completely. He screamed that he had to jump, that they were calling him, that he had to answer. We barely managed to grab him before he flung himself overboard. As the storm raged on, the Dutchman grew closer. Its glow illuminated the deck, and I could see the figures more clearly now. They weren't people, not anymore. Their faces were gaunt, their eyes hollow sockets that seemed to burn with an unnatural light. They didn't move, didn't breathe, but I could feel their gaze on me, cold and unrelenting. Then, just as suddenly as it had appeared, the ship was gone. The fog lifted, the glow vanished, and the storm began to die down. It was as if the Dutchman had never been there, as if it had slipped back into whatever cursed realm it came from. But the terror didn't end with the storm. That night, the whispers returned. Faint and distant at first, but growing louder as the hours passed. I lay in my bunk, staring at the ceiling, trying to convince myself it was just my imagination. But the whispers weren't in my head. They were real. They drifted through the halls of the ship, weaving between the bunks, calling out to us. Some of the crew claimed they heard voices speaking their names. Others said they saw shadows moving in the corners of their cabins, shapes that disappeared when they turned on the lights. The air remained cold, and no matter how much we tried to banish the chill, it clung to us like a second skin. The worst came 3 nights after we'd seen the Dutchman. One of the men disappeared. His bunk was empty, his belongings untouched, but he was nowhere to be found. We searched the ship from top to bottom, but it was as if he'd vanished into thin air. Some of the crew whispered that he'd answered the call, that he'd gone to join the Dutchman's crew. By the time we reached port, half the crew had abandoned ship. They refused to sail again, claiming the Dutchman had cursed us, marked us for death. I couldn't blame them. The whispers followed me home, haunting my dreams and echoing in the quiet moments of the night. Even now, years later, I can still feel it. The chill of the Dutchman's gaze, the weight of its presence. I've sailed many seas since then, but I've never felt safe, never felt free. Some nights, when the wind is still and the fog rolls in, I hear the whispers again. And in those moments, I know the Dutchman is still out there, waiting, watching, calling me back to the sea.